Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus, the one that was baptized for us, the one who, in whose name we are baptized. Amen. I want to talk about the baptism of Christ, our baptism today, a baptism sermon. Let us pray as we consider God's word further. Lord, send your Holy Spirit upon the church and enlighten our minds and our hearts. Give us faith to believe. Help us now to hear and learn. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, dear friends, we all know God loves water. God made a whole lot of water, all the oceans and the lakes and the rivers and the streams. God made us with a lot of water. I think we all know that our human bodies are full of water, aren't they? God has done a lot of miracles with water. They're all over the Bible, all the things God loved to do with water. God made everything out of water. God sent the flood in Noah's day, a great miracle of water. God parted the Red Sea that Israel be safe from Egypt, a miracle with water. God gave them water from a rock in the desert as they wandered 40 years, a miracle of water. God parted the Jordan River that they might enter the promised land under Joshua, a miracle of water. God healed the Syrian general Naaman of leprosy, because he went into the water of the river Jordan, was healed. God loves water. In the New Testament, Jesus catches fish out of water. Jesus walks on water. He saves Peter out of water. He calms storms that are over the water. God loves water. And the great culmination of all that God does with water, the final great thing with water God does, all this points forward to the greatest thing God does with water. And that is right there. It's called your baptism. I know it doesn't look like it. That's nothing, Pastor. A little water, a few words, come on. Oh, you have little faith. All these great miracles, Red Sea, Jordan River, healings, miracles, all point to the greatest miracle of water that God does. It's called our baptism. Let's talk about baptism. We see the phenomenal miracles God does when Jesus is baptized. All you who doubt baptism, and you think that baptism is just some little outward rite of the church that really is symbolic and doesn't mean anything in and of itself. It's just a little public commitment that I make before the church. Oh, you, look at Jesus' baptism. And look at the miracles, the heavens opening, the dove landing on Jesus, the voice of the Father from heaven. This is powerful, powerful stuff, baptism. Four things about baptism to show the power of it, the miracle of baptism. First of all, we learn in the baptism of Jesus that baptism is the answer to prayer. Baptism is one great way God answers prayer. Notice precisely what Jesus is doing when he's baptized. The text says that Jesus was praying, and then the heavens were opened. So when Christ is being baptized, he is praying. What is Jesus praying for? He's God. What possibly could he be praying for? Where he is praying for wisdom, because now he is going to go public with who he is, the Son of God, and now he will do miracles, and now he will teach, and now he'll be persecuted and die. So, humanly speaking, as a man, he's praying for power, for strength, for the gift of the Holy Spirit, for wisdom. God, lead me not into temptation and help me. And that prayer is answered for Jesus when he's baptized. He receives the Holy Spirit and the power of God, doesn't he? But Jesus also is praying for us. He's praying for all the other people being baptized, as the text says. He's baptized with other people. And he's praying, Father, save them, forgive them, wash them, give them wisdom, give them the Holy Spirit. And so baptism is the answer to Jesus' prayer for himself, but more so his prayer for us, that we be cleansed and redeemed, our names written in heaven, that we have eternal life. And that all happens as we're baptized. You want forgiveness. It's answered in your baptism. You're baptized. Move on. It's washed. You want strength, the Holy Spirit. You're baptized. You have the Holy Spirit. Be strong and be courageous. You want to live forever. You want heaven because you're dying. Well, we're all dying, but you're sick and you know you're going to die soon. You have heaven. Your name is written there. You belong to God. You're baptized. Don't be afraid of death. It's already the open door to heaven for you. Baptism is the answer to prayer. That's why we pray the Lord's Prayer before we have a baptism, because all the petitions are answered right there when that baby or that child is baptized. God's kingdom comes there. His will is done there. Forgiveness is there. That baby's delivered from evil and led now to heaven, not into temptation. Given its daily bread, which is Christ and His holy word. Why is Christ baptized then? Well, an illustration. You know, a baby is dirty, and the baby does not climb up in the bathtub and wash himself or herself, but mom or dad pick up the dirty child and put the child in the bathtub, run the water. The baby doesn't run its own water, and the mom or dad puts in the water in the tub and puts in the bubbles, and the baby's happy usually and smiling as long as the water is warm. I learned that early on when I was a father. Make sure you have warm water, Paul, come on. And the baby still cannot cleanse himself or herself. They just splash around in the water. And if you're not there, they might get, the water's too deep. That might be a problem, of course. So what do you do as a mom or a dad? You put your hands in the water. You kneel down, you humble yourself over the tub. You put your hands in the water to wash your baby. You put your hands in the water, not because your hands need cleaning, but to wash your baby because your baby can't clean himself. And this is why Christ is baptized. He's God. He doesn't need cleansing. He's perfect and pure. But He enters the water as the hands of the Father to wash us as we're baptized, to cleanse us. The answer to our prayers, you know, a baby when they're dirty cries, "Oh, Mom, Dad, I'm dirty. I need a dirty diaper, please." And when you pick up your child and bathe them, you're the answer to their cry. And we cry today, "I'm a sinner, I'm poor and miserable, I'm so sinful and dirty." And God washes us in absolution. Secondly, baptism is the admission to heaven. It is the admission to paradise, the admission to heaven. The first miracle mentioned when Christ is baptized, the heavens opened. Wow. I don't know what that looked like, the sky opening in some way. But the message is we're admitted. We sinful, dirty people that stray and sin and rebel, we are admitted to paradise because of Jesus, who would die for us and rise and washes us. And we're cleansed, we're admitted. This goes back to Adam and Eve, obviously. They were in peace with God, in harmony with God. All was good between God and man. But then Adam and Eve sinned. And they brought sin and death into the world, and we all sin and deserve to die and be in hell away from God. And God kicked them out of the Garden of Eden. Get out, no trespassing. The door is closed, if you will. And God put an angel there to say with a sword, "Get out, you're not welcome. The door's closed. You're sinful, I'm holy. We can't be together." Well, we cannot open the door. We're incapable. But God in the Old Testament cracks the door open because He loves us. And God, through the prophets and the temple worship and the sacrifices, He cracks the door. He opens a window. You can get in. Here's my mercy, a little bit of my forgiveness. But when Jesus comes, the door now is open, wide open. Not a little crack, not a peephole. Try to get in. But it's wide open and all the blessings of God. And it's never going to be shut. And that precisely happens when we're baptized. Heaven opens for the baby. Or the adult. We don't see it. But oh, the heavens open. You're now mine. You're mine forever. And God will never close His door on us. Or slam it in our face. Say, "Get out. You're too wretched." The door's open. The admission to heaven. You know, read something about Thomas Edison. I guess he was we know he was a great inventor, obviously. The Steve Kaiser of his day. But Edison was quite proud and arrogant. And I read a quote from Thomas Edison when he was in his heyday inventing. And Thomas Edison once said, "I will create a minor invention every 10 days and a big thing every 6 months or so." That's pretty good, Pat. A minor invention every 10 days and a big one every 6 months. I don't know whether he did that or not, but he was a great inventor. But something he could not invent. He couldn't invent a key to heaven. He couldn't take away one sin. He couldn't conquer his death. He's dead right now. I hope he's in heaven, but I don't know. He couldn't conquer the devil either. He couldn't open paradise. Oh, he can make a light bulb. And that we thank God for his invention, certainly. Only one person can create an open door to heaven, can give us the key, and that is our God, and the key is Jesus and his cross. We're admitted. Our names are written there. Thirdly, baptism is constant daily absolution. It's constant daily, nightly, morning, noon, and night forgiveness and forgiveness and forgiveness and forgiveness and peace with God. The dove is important. We talked quite a bit about the dove in Bible class. And the dove landing on Jesus is the Holy Spirit. But coming as a dove is very, very important. The dove's a symbol of peace. As you might know the story of Noah, God sends the flood upon the earth, and the rain has stopped after 40 days, and Noah wonders, is God still mad, or is there peace? Is God going to forgive and let us get going again? And so he sends out the raven doesn't come back. He sends out a dove, and the dove comes back, which means there's no dry land. It has no place to land except on the ark. God's not at peace yet. There's no dry land yet. God might still be a little bit angry. Sends the dove out again, and the dove brings back what? An olive branch. And that's the sign to Noah, oh, there's land, there's an olive branch, there's land. God's at peace. There's absolution. God loves us again. He always did love us, but now his anger's over. And then he sends out the dove again, and the dove doesn't come back because there's dry land, obviously. The dove's a symbol of peace, forgiveness, absolution. God's not mad. And so now the dove lands on Jesus, meaning Jesus is the new ark. You want to be saved? You want to escape the wrath of God? Then be in Jesus. He is your ark. Be baptized into him. Be connected to him. Eat his body. Drink his blood. Stay in his church. He is the ark. Stay in him and you'll be saved. You'll be absolved. As I said in class, the ark in Noah's day took a beating. The waves and the wind. And you can imagine all the beating that the waves put on that ark. And the wood probably shook and the wood was cracked a little bit. But Noah and his family and animals safe. Christ is our ark. He'll take a beating. Oh, the beating he takes for us at the cross. He is stricken, smitten, afflicted. He takes the beating. But as we're in him, we are safe. We are secure. We don't have to be afraid. God's anger is over now in Jesus. He's appeased. He favors us. We're well-pleasing to him. I was reading a little bit about dreams. You dream a lot? You know what the most common dream is by far? They're still investigating dreams. The most common dream above all in surveys is the emotion of fear. Not happiness, but the emotion of fear, of anxiety. And the most common dream associated with that is being chased. Pat, you're often chasing me in my dreams. I don't know why. He's not. But you know what I mean. There's something wrong. I have anxiety, fear. Someone's chasing me. I'm not doing something right. It's very, very common. In baptism, God's not chasing us. I'm coming to get you. I'm coming to lay it to you. You're a sinner. No, God says, don't be afraid. I am here. You don't have to run anymore. Don't be afraid. You're forgiven. You're washed. You're mine, my very child. And then that leads to point number four. Baptism is adoption. Adoption in the holy family of God. We're born again, his very children. The words of the Father. The Father can't control himself at Jesus' baptism. It is rare for God the Father just to speak from the sky. But he does when Christ is baptized. And another time or two he does. But the Father is so excited, he says, "This is my Son, my beloved Son. With him I'm well pleased." Those words are not just for Jesus that occurred 2,000 years ago and they mean nothing for us. Those words are for us. We are the body of Christ. We're the bride of Christ. We're incorporated into Christ. So those words are for us. When we are baptized, Jesus didn't need to hear he was God's son. Jesus knew he was God's son. Those words weren't for Jesus. He knew all about it already. He's God. Those words are spoken for the church, for us who are baptized. The other people in the water, which are you and I, we're in the water of baptism. And those words are for us, for God says to you when you're baptized, you are my son. You're not a slave. You're not a servant. You're not just my acquaintance. You're not a stray pet in my house over here in the corner. But you're my child. See, the heavens opening. Okay, I'm going to go to heaven. Absolution. I'm washed. That's how I'm going to get there. But when I'm there, what am I going to be? Is God going to stick me in the corner over here and say, get out of here. You're over in the corner. I don't like you a whole lot, but I let you in. No. We're his sons and daughters. You're my son. You're my daughter. I'm well pleased with you. You're front and center. And you are loved and loved and loved and loved every day of your life. This is the wonders of baptism. We wretched, poor, miserable sinners have been exalted by the grace of God to be his children. You don't kick children out of the house. Although sometimes you kind of want to, don't you? Just speaking as a human father. The Heavenly Father doesn't kick children out. I love you. And I'll wash you and cleanse you. You are mine forever. You know, Mozart had a great memory. The Broyles took us to a symphony over Christmas, so I got interested in reading about all this musical stuff. And we all know Mozart was a genius. And I read where he had such a good memory, he could listen to a 12-minute composition two times and have the whole thing memorized. He knew every note of it after listening to it two times, a 12-minute musical composition. What a memory! What a genius! God doesn't call on you to be a genius. He doesn't call on you to have such a great memory. God calls on you to remember seven words every day of your life. Every day you wake up, Sunday through Saturday, say these words, seven words. I am baptized, I am God's child. Say it with me. I am baptized, I am God's child. Again, I am baptized, I am God's child. You're facing the loss of your job. You're facing conflict in your home. You're sick. The doctor's report is bad. There's war. There's ISIS. I am baptized. I am God's child. I need not fear. For all of heaven is on my side. And I will live forever. And I'll be his witness forever. That's a Christian. And that's the boldness that arises out of the power of baptism. You're God's child. You're baptized. Never forget it. He's not going to take it back. So, what a miracle. The culmination of water miracles. Baptism is the answer to prayer. We are saved. The admission to heaven, I'm going to get in. The door is open through Jesus. It's my daily absolution, I'm forgiven. It's my adoption into the family. Praise be to God for the great miracle of baptism. Amen. We stand. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.